Mantras and Rituals. This is Aratima. Let's talk a little bit about mantras, how to use them, when are they useful, what are they for? Mantras are incredibly powerful and beautiful as they are made from syllable sounds that are the original sounds of the universe. Some languages are sacred, very old ancient languages that were not based on logical thinking, but directly taken from nature. The sounds of a tree, for example, or the bubbling of water or the wind, such things, the original sounds that our body is making, the way the breath comes in and out, like in the mantra of Soham. There are languages like Sanskrit, but there are some other languages as well that have the ability to reset our health, our spiritual health, our well-being on all levels. Some people say that without mantra in this particular yuga, in this time, we cannot wake up. Others say that there are other ways to do that as well. So we don't really want to find a right or a wrong here. Let's have a look at how mantras could serve you. When you repeat a mantra, you are using a sacred sound that tunes you like a piano, like an instrument. You are like a flute through which the spirit, the breath moves. And when there are no blockages or deviations in the chakras and the energy channels, then your sound, your expression is pleasant to yourself and also to others. It causes you to be happy and healthy, and you are a pleasure to be around because there's no distortion or less distortion. The more we clear and adjust ourselves, the more we express truly who we are, the more pleasant and sweet we become to the world around us and to ourselves. Now, in the tradition, mantras are being used to elevate consciousness and to make changes within you. There are very many different mantras. Some mantras are so powerful, they are locked. We say it's that there needs to be a certain other mantra said or some kind of formula in order to unlock the mantra. They are very potent. There are mantras that help us manifest things, where the energy is directed in ways to help us physically express things according to our desire. And then there are the mantras that are used for finding who we are and embodying that eternity that we are. So there are many, many different mantras. And when you begin a mantra practice, let's say you are doing really great and you're quite still, you sit in your meditations. And in this course, we want to make sure that we are going as quickly as possible to the place of silence and just being ourselves. We want to get past the doer, because we can be doing a lot of mantras and then hoping to achieve something. That can be very distractive, because that's the whole point, is to get past the illusion of the doer. So first you do your meditation, you use the seat sounds or your portal, your image, to climb into a high level of attention and then reside there and be still in that. So if you're able to get that silence and that meditation time, then throughout the day, there's nothing wrong with adding a mantra and even furthering your well-being. And instead of thinking random things during the day, or you might find your mind is very busy at certain times, or there's stresses, or you feel there's some health issue going on, why not do a mantra practice? That's not a problem at all. And what is a mantra practice? The very basic things that we really need to know is that there are 108 channels that are located or move towards the heart chakra. They go through the whole body. And those 108 tubes want to be cleaned out. So it's almost like we blow through them with a sound and we clear them out. And so a mantra is being repeated 108 times. Now, there are three different ways to repeat a mantra, either loud, whispering, or silent. And sometimes there's some mantras that's kind of nice to say them out loud. Most of the time, you want to say them just inside, very, very deep in your mind. You don't move your tongue. They're very deep, like deep in the second attention. If you have, let's say, a very, very busy mind, and you just could actually just whisper the mantra, so you kind of pull your attention away from something that's bothering you, and you just know you're going to replace it with a mantra. Now, to do a very simple mantra practice would be to say the mantra once in the morning and once in the evening 108 times each. And you can then repeat the mantra for 40 days. That would be a wonderful practice to do. It takes 40 days to break a habit. If you continue and add another 40 days, you get 80 days. And then you can add another 40 days to implement a new habit. And that will be 120 days of saying the mantra twice a day. Now you will come against your resistances and the blockages that will be, it's like a snow plow. You're going to start push them right in front of you. And then the 40 days is like a wall. So you're really pushing the resistance, the negative energies like in front of you and up against that wall that you've set of 40 days. That is not set by you, but essentially it's a natural mathematical number that basically causes a quantum shift. So you have to get past those 40 days. And so you'll have to go through the stuff that you've been sort of collecting, we could say, and push in front of you. And then you move through that. So it could be a certain kind of moment where you notice this is a little tricky, it's a little hard, a little difficult. And just observe that, make a note of it, and just continue doing your mantra. So that can happen any time. Most of the time it happens in the day between 30 and 40th. And often in my experience, also seeing other people, day 37, 38, 39, or on the 40th day, there is occasionally a cleanse or a clearing already in the day 20th or earlier, but most of the time comes towards the end. Now, there's another way to actually approach mantras, and that is to unlock their inner power. It's called a siddhi. Siddhis are powers. It's a gift the mantra has. And it happens at 125,000 repetitions. And what you would do if you really wanted to try that out, you would, you know, make notes of how many times you're repeating it per day. Let's say you say the mantra all day long, and within an hour you have such and such repetitions. Then you would just look at how many hours have you said the mantra. Maybe it was 4 hours, you got around to it. The rest of the day you were at work speaking to other people or doing other things. But let's say you had 4 full hours where you repeated the mantra in your head as you go about your shower, make your breakfast, drive the car, you know, go, you know, all this time where you're actually not really using your intellectual brain to sort things out, where it's kind of empty and you can just basically repeat the mantra. And then in the evening, you just jot down how many mantras you sort of, you know, have done. Counting them along on beads all day long is a little much. But you can get a sense of how many mantras you get done within 15 minutes. And then you do it times 4, that's an hour. And then how many hours have you done it? So, you know, if it's a short mantra, you get a lot done. And to reach 125,000, you get it done earlier. If it's a very long mantra, it'll take you much, much longer. And at 125,000, a mantra siddhi is being unlocked. Something happens and you will know and feel it. And then you can continue and do another 125,000 and then another 125,000 and another one. You can actually keep building on it. If you haven't unlocked a particular power, for example, a certain abundance that you might seek or something, and it's really not there at 125,000, or you think it's just a little too small, there could be more because they can, then you continue with that and continue to unlock these powers. Now, this is something you can explore, and as you're also tapping into morphic fields of people that have done these Sanskrit mantras for a very long time, you benefit from people that have done the mantra before, so there is an incredible pool of energy available and that you are participating in. It's a sacred history, a sacred reservoir of power that's available for you. Now, there are mantras in other traditions. There are mantras or the names of God in Arabic language. There are Tibetan mantras, and then there are also Latin prayers and things. Now, there isn't a tradition of repeating things 125,000 times, but you will notice that there's some kind of change going on, some shift, some stabilization, a certain plane of attention and a certain well-being that starts to develop. So this is something you can explore for yourself and add or not add, really depends, to the basic practice of stillness and going inward and resting in your eternal core. Another subject in context with mantras is initiation. When a mantra is initiated, when the seed is given power directly downloaded from somebody who is actively carrying it to another person, the mantra unfolds way faster and quicker. But like I mentioned before, there are morphic fields of people who have done mantras for so many years, thousands of years, that the mantras are already quite potent and you tap into those morphic fields. So try it out if you are familiar with mantras and you like some, or if this is an area that you are not really familiar with or you're not interested in, that's fine as well. There are some very famous mantras that pop up all the time. The famous Om Mani Padme Hum, for example, which is a mantra that works with the four upper chakras. Not so much a mantra that I find is very, very applicable to the age right now, as we need to ground the energy also into the lower chakras. But that all depends. It's always depends on the person. There are mantras that relating to the heart and abundance, which is the Lakshmi mantra of Om Shrim Mahalakshmiye Namaha, the great liberation mantra of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There are the mantras of Om Namah Shivaya that help us to be empty and transform ourselves into the sacred that we are, that work on all the different chakras. There are mantras that help us to become more creative, like the Saraswati mantra, Om Aim Sarasvatye Namaha, Om Aim Sarasvatye Namaha. Then there are mantras that ground us. There are mantras that protect us, like Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. And you can also check on Jason's YouTube channel for mantras. There are so many mantras there. So if this is something that interests you, there's a tremendous amount of information there. And otherwise, just saying Om in the beginning and the end of your meditation is just fine. And even the word Amen or Amen is really a derivative of Om, because in the Hebrew language there's just written the consonants and the vowels aren't written. So it's like an sound. Okay, have fun with mantra if you are drawn to doing them.